Thanks, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
You're like a deer in headlights. You're like a deer in headlights.
Thanks. If you told me you were going to do it, I would have went with it. But I just looked up. I was like, oh, dick.
No, of course not. Of course not. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here tonight on a Friday for a change. The special reason for that is we will be joined momentarily by Ryan Irving, the writer, director, actor, voice actor, the genius behind the short film available right now on Arrow Film Player, that is Bark. Just waiting on him showing up.
That's when the thing. Shows up, we'll bring him in. Like I said, we're going to be joined by. It's like, what, do we, are we? I think we are. I think we are. I'm not 100% sure because they're normally here a little bit earlier, but we'll see what happens.
Maybe we've got the time difference wrong, but any moment now it could pop in. So we'll chat a wee bit about Bark before Ryan pops in. I actually, from the poster, was not sure what to expect. I'll show you here.
Archer.
There's the poster, which clearly says Bark. And from this image, kind of makes me go, oh, that's like a wolf type film. Because Bark being the dog and this person here clearly like raging, wanting to bite someone. So I kind of went in there expecting it to be like, oh, no, I've been bit off a dog. Oh, no, I'm a dog.
But dog it was absolutely...
Dog man.
Dog woman.
rough. But it was not. It was not like that. And I don't want to go too much into it until Ryan comes in.
What have you been up to the day, mate?
Do you know what? We'll do that. Because we have a 30-minute time slot with Ryan. So our show can usually go for about an hour anyway. So we'll just kind of chat a wee bit until Ryan shows up.
Yeah, and let's do that.
We'll go from there.
We are interesting enough.
Aye, true. Well, I tell you this. I was driving the day. And you know, like, whoa. when obviously there's like give way, but it's on their side. So there's a bus waiting behind a wee island. And it's obviously me that has right away. And then when I leave, they then come out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm coming round at the correct speed. And I'm like... And I'm like, this arsehole's going to pull it. Guess what he done? Pulled it. So Ken, what I done? Drove right up in front of him and went, beep, 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 beep. Hello. Hello. Bus full of kids.
I mean, it's actually one of your personality traits that I love, man, is your ability to hold things together when things don't quite go your way.
I mean, no, it's not that it didn't go my way. It's just
like, rude. Minor inconvenience.
Where are you going to go now? I'm parked right in front of you, bitch. No. The order, mate, right? And he should know better. He should know the highway code. Matthewman says, joined by Carl the Mad Bush. Mate, I can't wait to talk about Carl the Mad Bush. Just waiting on Ryan, my man. Where's he at? I'll maybe send a wee... can he? I don't have a direct contact with Ryan. Maybe we'll go to Instagram and be like, Ryan, where are you, Ryan?
Falcon!
No.
Andrew, where are you? I'm horny. Oh, man. I actually did some proper man stuff today for maybe the first time in my life in my house, man.
Proper man stuff.
Proper man stuff. We got a new light shade.
One sec, J-Mac, sorry. This is here as Ryan. Ryan says, oh no, I was told 2 p.m. J-Mac, what's the Canadian for 2 p.m.? What would that make our time?
the Canadian for 2 p.m.
Did I get that wrong?
2 p.m.?
Quick, what's the number for 911?
I think there's maybe been some miscommunication and apologies for that, Ryan. I'm not sure what time it is there just now, actually.
Wait,
assuming it's not fucking 2 p.m.
Hey Siri, what time is it right now in Canada? It is Canada, right? Oh, four. That's Ottawa. Ottawa? Ottawa.
Oh, you can't put Canada into one time zone. It's fucking enormous, man. Canada is one of these countries that is so much bigger than it looks when you see the world map. It's just a perspective thing, because despite what some people might say, the Earth is a globe, right? And the perspective you see on the map, it tends to favour countries with the most power.
Wait, hey! Hi, Ryan, are you all right? Can you hear us?
Hello! I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I was given the wrong time. Hi.
No, no. Hey, it's okay. Which is good, because you're here. Sometimes we've been lined up with guests. I'm not going to mention any names. Boba Fett. But he was like, yeah, I'll totally come on your show. And then proper didn't. And I was like, oh, that sucks. but no, hey, so what time is it over there? Is it Canada you're in right now?
I'm in PST. I'm in Vancouver. So it's 1 p.m. here. Yeah.
Ah, so I see. So she's, so Genevieve's like me. She's no big on time. J-Mac for me. Whenever we've got a guest from America, where I'm always like, J-Mac, what time is that here? And he's usually my wee clock from here. So apologies for pulling you on earlier.
No, all good. Yeah, I thought I'd check, because I pre-checked your channel and watched some of your videos, and then I saw 1 p.m., and so I thought I'd double-check in case, so I'm glad I did.
Yeah. We were proper, like, scared case you never came on, because we really wanted to talk to you about Bark. before you came on, we're like, so...
Let's do introductions first, eh?
We usually do this before the show goes live, but I'm Kev, and this here is J-Mac. How's it? There it is.
Hello. Hi. Yeah. Yes. Hello.
So obviously we talk about films, and we've been covering a lot of the Arrow short films. So sometimes we never know what to expect. Sometimes they're crazy, but sometimes they're crazy in a great way. Bark for us, when we first watched it, we seen the thumbnail for it and was like, right, not sure what to expect, because from the poster it almost looks like a bite. Like, for me, it tells me a bite and a, like, someone turning it a dog or something. So when I went in and watched Bark, I was pleasantly surprised that it was absolutely right up my street and nothing to do with a dog. Oh my god. Like, so for 6 minutes of, for anybody that hasn't seen this, please go to the Arrow Player and watch Bark. I didn't quite grasp that it was a tree that the bark essentially was titled. But oh my, I'm going to ask straight up, how did you come up with this? I mean, because that's the type of thing I would come up with. So I need to know how your brain works on it.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of my best ideas come from talking with my partner Anna. She had a nightmare. About kind of like a slasher thriller, and trees were talking, and I thought, oh, that's pretty good. I feel like we should make that into a thing. I scripted it out, and yeah.
So tell me about your dream again. I'm just gonna write this down.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was so refreshing to see something, just a different concept, just something completely different. Because when it first started, I thought, right, who's talking? Is it the dog? And I was like, no, it's the tree. Right. And I get it completely. This is everything that's totally like me. One of my favorite characters in it clearly was Carl the Bush. Right.
Me too.
By the way, I actually I kind of wondered to myself what Carl would look like. So I done a wee Photoshop to kind of illustrate what Carl looks like to me. OK. And here we go.
Oh man,
Jesus Christ. I haven't seen that before, just so you know. That's awesome.
am I wrong?
Not at all. Vibe, no. Right? That is his vibe for sure.
Great that you managed.
I like the little Buckfast bottle. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Buckfast, Ryan.
Not the brand, no.
Buckfast is a tonic wine made by monks in the south of England. Okay. Now, they basically get away with not paying any duty or tax on it because it's a monastery. Yeah, you can't tax religions. It's so clever. To me, it tastes like syrup and piss. Like, I'm not a fan. I really, really don't like it. I don't know if Kev likes it. You've never actually spoken about it.
I've tried it, but nah, not for me. Not no. for me at all. I don't, it's don't really like sweet things, eh? Nah, not at all.
It's no, disgusting.
Throw it in a bush, yeah.
So yeah, when I watched this, I was laughing. I watched it with my wife. My wife isn't into the same kind of films as I am, right? So I had to be like, I says, right, to my wife, I says, we're going to sit down and watch a couple short films. Got to Bark, and she was just like, my God, you're loving this. Because I just kept laughing. And I don't understand if anybody would not understand, like, that it simply is just a tree, right? And there's a lot of your voice continuously talking. And I'm like, well, of course, if you were a tree and stuck to the ground, what would you do all day but talk, just continuously talk? You know what I mean? So it resonated with me. Anybody that, if I hadn't seen this and my friends had, they would have sent that to me and says, Kev, this is for you. So I thought, how did you kind of, when you took that idea from your partner and was like, right, I'm going to turn this into a film, were these the initial ideas from, you know, the tourists, you've got the people walking the dog, and then naturally
a lot of it came from kind of what you spoke to earlier. Subverting expectations was a mm-hmm. big goal of mine. So yeah, at first you think maybe it's the dog talking, and then you think maybe it's the human, and then it's the tree, and then you think this tree's out of his mind. And then just as you might be starting to get tired of that shtick, we do that left turn into horror. That was a big piece of it.
It does come out of nowhere. Like when it first started, I was like, I text Kevin actually just earlier on. I said when I first started watching it, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then it just takes an absolute U-turn into absolute comedy and horror gold. The kind of the change of tone from what is essentially comedy to just fucking like Jason Voorhees style killing.
Yes.
I love that. It's like the From Dusk Till Dawn scenario, you know. Was that part of the creation, the creative process? Was there anything about that?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right, so that's all you.
Yeah, that was the major goal with that turn there. And probably the hardest to craft, one of the hardest bits to craft, because we didn't want to get people to get tired of the tree. And so we had to keep you going, but kind of forget the poster of the movies, like it's leading up to horror, maybe. Mm-hmm. We want you to forget that it's, oh, this is very bizarre and comedy. But it's really hard to make things dynamic when you're just shooting a tree. There's no acting, nothing's happening. And so our editor, Chris, got really, really creative in the edit, and just we're just got so much coverage of that tree, and we're all over the place. And then we had the script that I wrote, and so we shot everything first, and then I went in to record all the voice lines for the tree afterwards. And then I was, we recorded all in my buddy's house, and I was improvising off of him a bit on what this tree might be saying. We were pretty loose with the script, and then the idea for Carl just kind of came out of that action organically. And then we realized, okay, this is too funny. We have to put this in the movie now. But we don't have like what Carl is. We figured like it's got to be a rival. Like we set the lines bush. So we realized we had to go back and do a reshoot just to add Carl. And by the time we made that discovery, it was been a few months. We're like, well, we have to wait for all the grass to die again, and all it has to look the same. So we waited an entire year just to add Carl.
Oh wow!
So it's vindicating that you enjoyed it. I did.
Carl was excellent.
Yeah,
I love that. Carl's just completely in a world of his own. yes, for me.
Wait, why did you decide on the name Carl?
No reason. It's just like a plain, like just normal human sounding name, which kind of just the juxtaposition sounded funny. I don't know, just kind of.
Yeah. I can't hear the name Carl anymore without thinking, oh no, no, Carl.
Carl.
That's Coral.
Coral. Yeah, that's right.
Did you have any real big challenges aside from waiting a year to?
That's probably the biggest. It's funny because a year later we realized we got a little bit more coverage on that tree, mm-hmm. And a year later we realized that tree was very dead. I wonder if it's even there now by this point. Oh. Next year a lot of the branches had fallen off.
And so in memoriam.
Catch it. Yeah. R.I.P. That was a big one. Another thing that we tried to shoot for, we were thinking of maybe all the tree stuff in the beginning could be in the day, and then we would transition into night when we got into the classic slasher homage. And then we realized it didn't quite work with the coverage, especially when we shot half of it a year later. And so then we were like, okay, well, what if we instead kind of still wanted to make it a little different and interesting just for kicks? We made it black and white. That's where that came from.
I love black and white.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you why you made it black and white, because I love black and white.
Yeah, so do we. That worked out really well, and it just ended up, a lot of that, like the black and white, the coral of it all, like it just came about kind of organically as we were making this thing together.
No, it's really good fun, man. It was Craig Matthewman says here, Bark was a pleasant surprise. Watched it on the train to work and was laughing my head off. Need a sequel about Carl the Techno Bush.
We do.
Techno Bush. That's an interesting one.
I believe there's a backstory there for Carl.
Yeah. We play around with ideas for, like, if we did, like, prequels or sequels, we kick around, like, the idea of Carl, or like seeing where those girls came from and where the killer started. We ended up making something else, but we kicked around those ideas for a little bit. Yeah.
Where did the design for the killer's mask come from?
Oh yeah. Our friend Jenny in Calgary, where I was living, where I grew up at the time, she made it for us. We just told her we wanted like this unique, horrific face that looks like it's made out of skin, and she made it from scratch. We were all, blown away. Yeah.
J-Mac wondered, he asked me earlier on, do you think that mask is made of wood? I say probably something like paper mache.
It looks like, just looking at that thumbnail in the corner there, it looks like maybe it was supposed to be a wood sort of effect. But obviously it's fucking wrong.
No, that's great though. I mean, especially in black and white, you can't really tell. No, it's quite gelatinous. I have it still tucked away, which is fun. I think I threw it on for a Halloween one time. great souvenir.
So do you, like, when you were going to go, when you, like, for me, if I was creating such a comedic type of thing where you're focusing on a tree and then I was to introduce a killer and a slasher type scene, like, were you excited at the prospect of creating your own slasher? Because that's essentially what you've done there, is created something that's original.
Oh, 100%.
What was that process like for you?
I mean, huge fan of the genre, and we all kind of felt that together, especially our killer, Keith. He's probably the biggest fans of slashers that I know, so... he was very excited to play that. I had all these ideas and little things he did on set. It was an absolute blast to dive into that kind of violent stuff.
He definitely had that perfect walk. There's a walk that serial killers or them slashers, they've got a walk, and he fucking nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
Was this just one of your friends, did you say?
Yeah. A lot of these, they're all just friends that I've met through film and theater over there. And Keith had that, like, that unstoppable walk, which was great. He also improvised the, like, double tap moment when you think the killer's dead, which, of course, is every slasher. He just kind of did that on the spot on the camera, which was great. Yeah.
Was she not expecting that when he grabbed the throat?
I think we did a few takes of it. I think he let her know. We gotta do this. I'm gonna do this.
I suppose if you don't let somebody know you're gonna do that these days, it can land you in a lot of fucking trouble.
He cleared it first. Yeah, we had a a fight guy on set as well.
Right. Yeah. Who are your favorite slashers?
Oh my god. Freddy Krueger is the original for me because that was the first horror, like proper horror movie I saw, and it ruined horror movies for like 10 years. That's probably the number one favorite of me. The brilliance of like, God, you watch that movie and then you just, you're usually your safe place is going to bed and it's the opposite. Oh,
that for me was always the, like the scariest thing about the Nightmare on Elm Street isn't Freddy killing you. It's like, fuck, I can't go to sleep. Yes.
So scary. Yeah.
That's a horror within itself, eh?
Yeah.
Did you do the voice for Baby Bark as well?
Yeah. I sure did. Yeah.
So funny. When she's running away and you just hear, Daddy!
I think I'm going to die.
I like I again, this is just my humor, but I love stuff like see when someone's just doing their own thing and then shit happens near them and it drags them into it, like, yeah. I find that incredibly funny. Like,
that's how I ended up on this podcast.
It's like, I remember watching a video and there was this girl and a wee shop, and there was a lot of people, and they're all kind of sitting about, and this woman's trying to do something with a pot, and it explodes, and everybody ends up on fire. Now, I know that's not funny. I know that's not funny, but see the idea of somebody just sitting chilling, and the next minute you're on fucking fire. You're like, I didn't ask for any of this shit. What the fuck?
I think it was a nail salon. Yes, a nail salon. Yeah.
Chemicals. And they're fine. She's on fire, but everybody ended up on fire because they were there. Right? I think that's what's so funny about, like, the tree's just there and then all the shit's going on around about it. Like, that's my branch.
Yes, like, yes. You know, yeah, I mean? Like, he's having this terribly, like, boring day, clearly bored of his mind, jealous of Carl. Yeah. And then when something really interesting finally happens to him, he complains about it.
And he's like getting parts of his branch cut off, and even makes reference to, like, the body will then decay and become part of the tree eventually.
Yes. So, yeah.
But again, like, there's a lot of things within this that this is the type of thing that I would like do. This is the type of thing I would make myself if I had full control. It would be something like this, and like I say, like that part where people accidentally just getting involved in other people's shit and suffering the wrath. You know what I mean? Just like, I had nothing to do with it. It was just so up my street that I can't like say how much it was up my street that I really want everybody to go and watch it. Do you think so? Obviously, it's on Arrow Player the now. Will it be elsewhere, like, will it end up on YouTube? Or I know you can't watch it on YouTube, but I mean,
I don't know yet. Yeah, I mean after Arrow eventually, probably. Yeah.
How long does a film stay on Arrow? Is it like yearly? Like, I've never actually asked that.
Yeah, I've signed on with them for 2 years with Bart.
2 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And how did you get involved with Arrow? Was this a festival, and then it got picked up there?
Yeah. So we made it to Fright Fest in the UK, and then Alan from Arrow reached out, and then we had a good chat, and then the whole team at Arrow has been great. Such a lovely surprise, and
they are excellent, and that Alan is very good at picking the films, because we've had so many great films to review, and there's a lot of things, like, because it's people don't necessarily look up shorts to watch unless you're really into shorts. So it's for us, it's been great, because there's things that, like, again, like Bark, that we've come across that we might not have if we were just surfing. Because, you know, it's like even watching Netflix, you're like, oh, no. So I love it when I see there's a new round of shorts hitting Arrow and we get sent the emails, because we just wouldn't see it otherwise. I can't imagine that there's plans for a feature, because I think this is just beautiful the way it is. Is there a life beyond? Could you turn it into a little anthology?
Well, we have an idea. Yeah. So we made two films so far. The other one also features an axe in it. And we had an idea to close this out as a little trilogy anthology of films with like a little hatchet or something. So we have an idea that we're gearing up to shoot our third. A lot of the same cast and crew in mind. They were also in the second film. We like working.
Oh, brilliant.
This is kind of our family now that I love so much. So yeah. Yeah, we like getting weird with it. yeah, so it won't be related to Bark and All, but it'll have that same kind of vibe and that kind of subverting of expectations throughout, yeah.
Just an axe that's talking about not wanting to kill people. Just like, oh, I'm in his fucking head again. Oh, no.
He's having a smoke. He's like, it's been 43 days and no axe. It didn't.
Come on.
And
nope.
It's the axe that doesn't want nothing to do with crime and ends.
You're reminding me now. We had there was one conversation that that we talked about. Like, does the axe have a voice? Because it's made of wood that came from a tree at one point. We axed that idea at some point. But yeah,
that would have been interesting. Matthew Mann asks, will there be a Bark 2?
Unfortunately, probably not. No. Wow. Yeah. It's just like a nice little.
Matthew says Bark would have fit right into one of the ABCs of death movies. Obviously, the letter B. Matthewman's his stuff's gone mad. Matthewman actually designs like artwork for alternative posters for films and stuff. So you might have seen some of his work. It's getting like thousands and thousands of shares right now. He done the Terrifier, the new Terrifier poster.
Oh, cool. So,
okay. I don't know if you're big on that. It's a clown art. All right.
Yeah.
Film's all right. Just it's gory as hell.
Yeah. Nah, that's one way to put it. what did you shoot this on?
What did we shoot it on? I can't remember now because my buddy Charles, our cinematographer, who I was living with at the time, knew way more about the technical stuff than I did. So I forget what we rented to shoot this on, to be honest. Yeah.
So it was a rental. So it wasn't something that you've got in your arsenal.
Yeah. It was a rental. I mean, it couldn't have been, forget the rates, because we made this for $3,000. So it wasn't anything crazy. But yeah.
That's excellent. Yeah. I've got a DJI camera, an Osmo 2, and the stuff you can do now on stuff that's affordable. Right, is incredible. I actually had something I'd shot up on the cinema screen, and it was like there was no issues, no blemishes, nothing. So it's crazy the amount of like just where we're at now from like even 10 years ago and then 20 years ago with the type of technology we can use now. The phone, here's another thing. So you could essentially, because 6 minutes obviously are short, you could do more of Bark but as like TikToks, because I would watch them. I'd swipe and get the next part of the story. Have you ever thought about that? Straight to consumer.
No. That's a good idea, because TikTok's a lot of fun to play around with. I like that. We keep having like, we had snippets of ideas, but not like what would make a full thing. Like one of the ideas for the prequel of like Where They Come From, we thought we would see this party. It would explain why the girls are in their bikinis. Maybe it's like a hot tub kind of thing. And then the killing starts. And then you have these trees outside panicking. Like all the trees still have a voice. And they're like, get out of the house. You gotta run. And then from the human's perspective, it's just like they're tapping in the wind on the window and stuff. love ideas.
No, that's excellent. And the way you could execute it as well nowadays, the software and hardware that's on even just an iPhone. Like, have you seen some of the work that's done on TikTok with just iPhones?
Yes.
I think it would be a great way to, I mean, storytelling. And I think with it being a short, it would be excellent just to kind of play around with that. I don't know if we could see that in the future, but if I was in it, I definitely would give it a bash just purely because I actually hate when I find something great, because then I'm like, how do I reset it and go back and watch it for the first time, and where do I find more? And if neither exist, depresses me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's that we left you wanting more. That's
definitely
good. Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very unique. And it was such good fun to watch, man. It's very rare to get something unique now that is also enjoyable. I find that when a horror film comes out, for example, they're like, oh, it's so original. And then I'll watch it and go, yeah, it's original, but there's a reason that hasn't been done before. It was crap. But this was different, man. It was really, really good fun. And I think not knowing what to expect from it at all is a good thing to go in with. So we've just ruined it for anybody watching this thing.
A little bit. It's hard to talk to without, though. Yeah, it's kind of the whole crux.
This is what I say all the time. I'm not against spoilers. I also think sometimes if someone, like, I'm notorious within my friend group for just spoiling films, right? J-Mac will tell you. And I remember Solo came out, and at this point in Star Wars, I was like, oh, no, fucking another one. At this point, right? Solo came out. So I was like, oh. And then one of my friends came over to me, knowing I hadn't seen it, just desperate to spoil it because I spoil everything for them. And he goes, see, Darth Maul came back in Solo. And I went, did he? And he goes, see it.
Yeah. So,
I wasn't gutted. I was like, no, I was like, I'm a way to see it. So I think spoilers are all right. I think spoilers are all right.
Unless I disagree.
I disagree unless you makes it makes you go see Bark. Then that's
cool. Yeah. There we go. There we go. Same page.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a hard time with spoilers. Like I'll see a trailer. And even if the trailer, people be like, you know, it doesn't show that much, but just my brain, I'll go see the movie. And I'm like 2/3 through the movie. I'm like, well, I haven't seen the beach from the trailer yet. So I guess the film ends at the beach. Mm-hmm. So I try not to watch trailers for things I know I'm going to see.
Same. Yeah. And then you watch a film and there is no beach and you're like, what the fuck? It was in the trailer. I've seen a few films like that. But I tend to see when a new trailer drops, I like to gauge the reaction. But I tend not to watch too much of the trailer if I'm really excited. Otherwise, a trailer's there to try and entice you. If I see the artwork, remember what it used to be like when those video stores existed and you would walk in and it would be like Satan's Little Helper, a film you would never find anywhere else. But the cover art takes you there and then you watch it at an age where you're susceptible to not worrying about the audio or anything that we pick apart now. And you would just, like a dog putting its face outside the car when it's driving, you would just enjoy the experience. You wouldn't even question it. And then it stays in your heart as you grow up. And then you watch it years later and go, that was pretty pants, but I still love it.
It's pretty pants.
I miss those days. I miss those days.
I miss that too. Yeah. Yeah. Scrolling on my TV, it's not the same as like seeing the artwork. Like you said, like one of my favorite films, Old Boy from Korea.
Old Boy. Yeah. Right.
I found it that way too. And boy, like, has that stuck with me? Yeah. I don't think I'd find it nowadays.
No.
Yeah.
Such as a lost art.
Yeah.
That's the problem as well when you're on streaming services is they don't always use the official poster for a movie as the thumbnail.
I know. What's that all about?
Or the original cover art. They don't always use it. And yeah, that pisses me off.
The cover art is a spoiler.
Yeah.
Oh man, there was a show, I won't name it because I don't want to spoil it for anyone else, but like one of the thumbnails was all the main characters dressed in black at a funeral. I'm like, I know who's not in that thumbnail. I guess I know what happened.
What an oversight.
Oh man. And like the crux of the show is kind of about that. And
damn.
So, my wife is quite similar. She goes to Google. Like she started watching Grey's Anatomy and she was in like season 2. So she went to Google something. And then once she Googles it, it's like, did you mean when this dude dies? And she's like, oh no, he dies. Oh, but that's like 5 seasons away. And she's like, oh, I've done it again.
Brutal.
So just don't Google stuff. Watch things the old-fashioned way and just get it explained as the thing goes on.
But, the old-fashioned way is telling someone to watch something. Yeah. Oh, have you seen this? Which is why we do this show, which is why we review films to say, guys, you need to check this one out. Even sometimes when a film's terrible, we're like, you should probably still see it to make your own mind up. But if we like it, we our crew tend to really enjoy it. I know Matthew Minhan really has.
This isn't actually the first time that we've been involved with a film about a tree, is it, Kevin?
That's right. That's right. We created a short film about a tree. Funnily enough, So it actually was one of my best mates. He wrote based off a story. I pretended to my kid who ate an apple. I'll tell you this just so that we can see how aligned we are, right?
Yeah.
So the idea was, when my son was younger, he ate the seeds on an apple, and I was like, "Oh no, you haven't," because I like to wind people up. I was like, "Oh, you're going to turn into a tree. I was like, you're going to be at home, and what's going to happen is you're going to start growing sprouts, and we're going to have to plant you in the garden, and then you'll become a tree, and then I'll come out and I'll still talk to you. Don't worry." And he's like, "Oh no, we've got a tree." So
terrifying.
Todd took that story, which I told him.
What a dick, man.
So Todd took that story that I had that was true to life. And when he was in film school, he used that story to create a script to which we filmed. J-Mac actually plays me in the story. And it's about a kid coming to terms with the fact he's going to be a tree. I'll actually send you. I'll send you after the show.
I would love to see that.
It's very short. But serendipitous or what? We have a film about a tree. You have a film about a tree.
I love this. When we first started touring this film around, our first stop was in Nanaimo, Vancouver Island Short Film Festival. And someone from the audience had a very similar reaction of like, "Oh, this is the kind of thing that like my buddies and I would make if we could." And that was February 2020. And then that all stopped, and I didn't really get to go to any more film festivals in person. So I miss this. I miss talking about just films, and it's fun to talk about this film in particular. And I love that. I love hearing that.
No, it's amazing. The fact that you had done it for 3K. I mean, I take it was that essentially self-funded, or did you have to apply for some kind of funding for that?
That was so we crowdfunded, and I made up about half of that. And then the other half was self-funded.
See, J-Mac and I, we've only made a couple films, but when we do it, it's literally just like hee-haw, like no budget at all.
The thing is,
we have all the equipment. We have a production company, so we do actually have all the equipment.
Perfect.
From over the years of collecting it, so essentially, it's easy to make it when you've got it.
When the equipment's already there and you don't have to think about hiring things for your budget and stuff like that. Everything's there. It's a nice place to be. Mm-hmm. I just wish I had time to do more of it now. That's the biggest problem.
That's what I told that audience member in February, that like you can make this. Like it doesn't take much, right? Like take what you have.
Totally.
You know, for the backup, as Mark Dupla says, just like the cavalry's not coming. Like go make it. Mm-hmm.
Totally agree. I like the idea.
Beg your friends to work for free or for very cheap. Case of bark and then go make it. Yeah.
For love.
That's the thing. It's not hard to convince your friends to do things like that because it's fucking fun. The only thing they have to contend with is, I'll need to ask my wife. that's the biggest problem. Just having to get permission,
which is easy though, Ryan. When your missus is an actress, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, do you want to be in my movie? Yes.
Hey, remember that nightmare you had? Do you want to live through it?
That's amazing. So, what is next for you, Ryan? Are you going to write another short? Do you see it? Here's a good question, actually, just before we let you go. So, you're an actor, but you're a writer and a director, okay? So, for you, do you want to do more as an actor, or do you want to keep creating and act within that?
The truth is, I have no idea what I'm doing. Because I just like the answer is that kind of yes. I love acting. I love creating this stuff. So I'm just, I just love film. I just love it all. Yeah. We have that plan for the third short we want to make. It's all scripted out. we just need to start kind of putting the pieces and setting some dates and yeah, and funding and seeing what grants we could apply to. That's kind of next steps is funding and then making it. And then the latter is we have an idea for a feature after that, but that'll be bigger steps. Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. If you could star in anything, what would it be? Something that already exists?
Something that already exists?
Could be rebooted, like continued as a show that ended.
A show that ended. I mean, that's tough what I slot myself into. I would love to just live in some of like my favorite worlds. Like The Last of Us is shooting in town right now. I would love just anything on that set. I would love to play.
Yeah.
Or like Blade Runner, Alien, some of my favorite kind of stuff. Yeah. Star Wars, obviously. I don't even care if I'm in the helmet, if I'm just a stormtrooper. So yeah. I just love to stand there and see how it's done.
I mean, even Daniel Craig did that.
Exactly. So
yeah. It's not below anybody to do that.
My friend Paul Davis, he was a Wookiee because he's like 6.
Yeah.
Do you know they said if you're a Star Wars fan like myself, when The Force Awakens was filming, the minute like the cast and crew were ready to shoot, and the minute that Harrison Ford walked onto the Millennium Falcon, everybody just went silent. Like that's those kind of special moments that you want to be part of when you're in the industry.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine. That's
cool. We will let you go in 1 minute. I just had to tell you something else. Kevin's obviously the one that's bad for spoilers here. When The Force Awakens came out, I thought I'd just be a bit of a dick on social media and I put out a fake spoiler, right? Or what I thought was a fake spoiler. And it turned out to be fucking true. I knew so many people that were going to the midnight screening of The Force Awakens on the release night. And I just said, Han Solo dies. Ha ha. Just kidding. Enjoy the movie, guys. And then my mate texted me the next day, went, man, you better fucking take that down. I was like, I said, does Han Solo die?
I saw you getting thrown to the wolves on that one.
No.
I jumped into the wolf pit myself, to be honest. That was I accidentally spoiled a film that I knew nothing about. It's a special talent.
I remember that was a thing. There was a hubbub of people spoiling the film on purpose because a lot of people did that media blackout. And you accidentally were one of those people.
Yeah, I was just joking. I had no idea that he even died. I had no idea. I was like, oh, Han Solo dies. What an asshole, man.
He actually wanted to die in the second Star Wars film because he felt his character had gone too long, hence the frozen and carbonite thing. But they were like, this character's too big, so we're going to keep him, which is why they bring him back.
Yeah, so yeah.
He obviously was like, here, I'll come and do Force Awakens as long as I die. Because that was literally his stick. He didn't want to be part of it.
So, do you have another hour and a half to talk about Star Wars with Kevin?
Another time, my friend. We will get together on another time.
Yeah, you guys are fun to chat with. It's been a pleasure. I love it.
No, it's the pleasure's totally ours. We're looking forward to seeing what you do next. Of course, you're welcome back on at any time, especially if you've got more projects that we can indulge in. I'm definitely going to watch Bark more.
I would love that.
It's a fun ride. And I urge everybody at home to download the Arrow Player, sign up and watch Bark. It's definitely worth even just a free trial if you're a tight arse. It's definitely worth
a lot of good stuff on there. Yeah.
There is. There's something for everybody in there. It's heavily under, I wouldn't say underrated, but it's a shame that
it's underutilized.
Definitely.
It's not at the level of Netflix and Amazon Prime. And things like that. I don't even think Amazon Prime's as good as that. But anyway, that's another story. And that's another story.
Yeah, not enough reach, maybe. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. But it'll get there. And absolutely. With the help of guys like yourself. So we're looking forward to seeing what you do next, mate. Where can everybody find you on? Yes, the Cherry Tuna on Instagram, right?
Yeah. That's me everywhere.
The Cherry
What
Tuna.
Does that mean?
quick side story. It was my this is so stupid. My Xbox name was randomly generated, and it was Terminal Tuna. Terminal's not even a name. And then kids in college started calling me Tuna from that. And then they started calling me Cherry Tuna because I'm half Asian and I get really red when I drink.
I heard that was a thing. Excellent. I heard that was a thing.
Yeah, the Asian glow. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was true or not.
It's a missing enzyme, and so it's kind of like an allergic reaction, basically, and then you just get flushed and a big headache.
When you walk in the door at 2 a.m. and your missus is like, you've been getting pished, and you're like, no, and your face is bright red, you're no hiding it.
It rises from bottom to top. It's really like I have this low indicator.
There's a short story in there as well.
The cops pull you over. Sir, have you been drinking tonight? No, I think you have. I don't even smell it, but you're red as fuck.
Fucking hell. Brilliant. Again, Ryan, thanks again for tuning in with us tonight. I know everybody that listens to this in the archives and tuned in live tonight is definitely going to go and check out Bark. Please do. And it'll forever remain one of my top short films to watch, for sure.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Good fun, man.
Sorry again for being a few minutes late. This has been a great pleasure.
Pleasure's ours, mate. Thanks again. And
keep in touch.
Catch up again soon, all right?
Both of you.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks again.
Thanks,
man.
Bye-bye. Cheers, mate. That was excellent. Huge thanks to Ryan for tuning in with us tonight. And you guys have got us a Friday show, which never normally happens, but definitely go ahead and check out Bark on the Arrow Player and watch all the other great horror shorts that are there. Shorts in general, horror films, amazing. Make sure to follow Ryan on the Cherry Tuna. The Cherry Tuna, that's amazing. That's amazing. phenomenal piece of work to watch, right up my street. I love it, and I'm going to send him our film.
I still think it's funny that we are the only people that pronounce tuna with a CH.
Tuna and not tuna.
Yeah. And it's one of the rare ones where you can go, to be fair, it does just say tuna. Why the fuck do we say tuna? I have no idea.
Because we're tuned to the moon.
We're tuned to the moon. That was great fun, man. Bark was really good fun and just phenomenal. Not what you'd expect. And more from Ryan, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. So make sure to follow him. Get on at the Arrow Player, and we will see you guys on Sunday when we review
Monday,
and then Tuesday. So you're getting a full week of Jibber Jabber. Hell, it's a lot of
I feel like I'm doing fucking community service now, man.
Nah, it's a labor of love, and we're very blessed to be doing so. So thanks guys. And make sure to check out this on Spotify, Audible, everywhere that podcasts exists, we are there. So go ahead and check out after this. Matthew Mann says, happy Friday, guys. Look forward to the next one. We'll see you Sunday, Matthew Mann. And on that note, we'll see you guys later. Make sure to check out Bark. Bye, guys. See you later, alligators. Here's me playing guitar.